Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, my guest this evening is Rebecca Lynn. She has a devotional book called Proud Police Wife, 90 Devotions for the Women Behind the Badge. And Rebecca, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm honored to be here.
Now, you wrote this because you know what it is to be the wife of a police officer. And it's not easy being a police officer. But it's not easy being the wife either, is it?
No, not always. Definitely not. And, you know, my husband's been in law enforcement for 15 years now, and a little over actually. And honestly, you know, it's incredibly difficult for the families of law enforcement, and that's not something that people realize. So I just always had it on my heart to serve this community in some way. And so this book was just one means of doing that, of sharing the word of God, but also directing these families to God to also just navigate this lifestyle and know that they aren't alone.
Right. I think a lot of times people who are in difficult situations sort of develop a mindset that I'm the only one who's going through this. Certainly, we saw that in the Old Testament in the case of Elijah, who was just absolutely certain, even after God told him, no, actually, I have others. He still is trying to explain to God that he's really the only one. He's the only one going through this. He's the only one who's faithful. He's the only one who suffers as he does. And I think one of the benefits of your book is as you not only provide inspiration and encouragement for the wives of police officers, but you, in doing so, show that they're not alone. The feelings you're having, the experiences you're going through, these are things that a lot of others can relate to. And I would say it goes beyond just the wife of a police officer, but you've really honed in on that because that's your situation and you know it very well. But I think a lot of people will be able to take away lessons for themselves in other situations too. Now, you said over 15 years, your husband has been in law enforcement. And did you fall in love with, I know the answer because I read it.
Right.
But did you fall in love with him after he was a policeman? And it was like, oh my word, this man is just amazing.
No, honestly, actually we're high school sweethearts. So we have been together. We just had like our 20-year kind of dating anniversary just a couple weeks ago. So we met in high school and we both went to college and kind of, you know, did our thing and got through all of that. And I knew that he wanted to go in law enforcement, but I was naive to the fact on what that actually entailed. I just thought like, you know, oh, my husband will be really attractive in that uniform and he wants to help others. Like that's kind of the extent of it. So when he did go into law enforcement, and my background is in education. So I was teaching first grade at the time. And, you know, when he went into law enforcement, and honestly, it started right in the academy. I was sort of blindsided to all of the changes that we would be going through as a couple, but then also the changes I saw in him, just dealing with the amount of trauma that police officers deal with on a regular basis versus what civilians, I mean, they see more in a short span than some of us will ever see in a lifetime. And so they have to have coping skills in order to deal with those things. I didn't know how to support him. I wasn't sure, like, do I ask him, like, are you okay? Do I leave him alone? I didn't know. And so I took to Google, like many people do in this day and age, but that was 15 years ago. And I was just searching for resources and I couldn't find anything. I honestly just found negative things that led to a lot of myths regarding law enforcement officers, law enforcement marriages ending in divorce, which is also a myth. So just a lot of untrue things. And so I continued teaching for a number of years and then started staying home when we started having children, mm-hmm. but had a plan to now serve this community because I was so tired of seeing other spouses start to struggle or them having the same questions that I had and not knowing where to find these resources. And there's amazing resources all throughout the United States, but people don't know about them because they're typically more localized. So mm-hmm. I just wanted to share that with others.
That's great. Now, mm-hmm. in the book, one of the things you mentioned is that you began to see in him as a police officer, sort of a magnified form of some of the things that you had appreciated about him before he went into police work. Even back in high school, you had seen courage and valor and faithfulness and that sort of those qualities that make him a good police officer.
Yes.
You had seen those before, but now they were coming into a fuller form. And you talked about his being like a lion. Yeah. And that's a good thing.
Right.
Now you mentioned, that, you know, this is a stressful life that the police officers face. I want us to be very clear, for the listeners, we're not saying that all police officers are good people and that they all do a good job and they're all ethical and bold as a lion, et cetera. Some of them are the cowardly lion. Right. Some of them are corrupt. Some of them are cruel. So there are bad people in police work too, just as there are among the clergy and school teachers and medical doctors and all kind and lawyers, for goodness sake, let's don't forget the lawyers. But, you know, in every area, you have people who are using their gifts in a godly way to serve others. And you have people who are using their position in order to advance themselves and in very corrupt ways, exploiting others.
Right.
So you're writing from the standpoint of a wife who wants to be supportive of her husband and needs to know how to do that. You know, how can I be a better wife to my husband as he's seeking to be a good police officer?
Absolutely.
You talk about a number of qualities that are important to recognize. One of the things you mentioned is loneliness. Mm-hmm. This is a real difficult thing for a lot of folks. Talk with us a little bit about that.
Sure. So honestly, there's two different types of loneliness that I talk about a lot in regards to spouses of law enforcement. And honestly, the people that are listening, even if you are not in law enforcement or don't know someone, you can experience these, you know, just if your spouse works, you know, maybe any kind of shift work or not a typical 9-to-5 job. But one is the fact of being alone. Like there, you know, that is a true fact. If we are physically alone and there is no one with us, mm-hmm. and that happens a lot when our spouse works shift work, is we may have opposite schedules as them. And that is truly an adjustment to learn mm-hmm. to use that time wisely, not let our, you know, negative thoughts get in our head and really change our mindset. The other is feeling alone. A lot of law enforcement families, spouses have truly, especially the past 2 years, felt absolutely isolated. They felt silenced because they can't really show their support. There are amazing people out there in the world that are truly supportive. But when you're kind of in dark times, like law enforcement has been in recent years, it's really hard to see those the positive people. So if you are sharing online or sharing at work that your spouse is in law enforcement and you're so proud of them, the trolls kind of come out sometimes. And so it can feel absolutely isolating, like you can't share with anybody else what that is like.
Right.
And so it's incredibly difficult to know who you can talk to or who you can share that with. And we shouldn't have to hide our loved one's job because mm-hmm. other people are judging them. They're judging them for wearing that uniform or judging them based on a news headline they saw from an officer that did do something wrong. Mm-hmm. And 99%, that's not a, you know, that's just a number I'm throwing out, but the majority of law enforcement officers are great, amazing people. So loneliness is something that many spouses deal with. And one of the things that I did try to highlight in the book is that, you know, you mentioned this earlier, that sometimes we can truly feel like we're the only ones going through something, but really we're not alone. And I try to show that as, you know, someone that's walked in those shoes, but also the fact that we have God on our side, that God is there and we can lean into God during these really difficult times, because it's hard being feeling like you're the only one going through something.
Amen. Amen. You also talk about the importance of community, having a support system. Talk with us a little bit about that.
Absolutely. So it's kind of piggybacking on that fact that sometimes we can feel isolated, that we don't have anybody to talk to. Mm-hmm. So really, you don't need 100 friends that, you know, that are supportive, or family members. Just finding a small group of people that you can share what you're going through. And they don't have to be other law enforcement families. I have good friends that I have one that, you know, her husband works for a dealership. He's the manager and he works, you know, 6 days a week, all day long. So she understands what it's like to have, you know, your spouse working a lot and feeling like a lot of the parenting duties are on you and things like that. Or talking with family members, but just having that support system. So when you do need something, if you're sick, a child is sick, you need something, you have someone that you can lean on, that you can talk to, that are going to be non-judgmental, that if they don't understand exactly what you're going through, they care to understand. And it literally will change your entire perspective on how you navigate this lifestyle. You can choose to do it alone, or you can choose to do it with a small group of people that love you and want to help you.
And God wants his people to be in community.
Yes.
I mean, we're designed for that. We are hardwired to connect, as a study coming from Yale University titled it, which is, I mean, even the secular folks recognize that intrinsically we are designed to connect with others. We need to live in community, and the enemy, Satan, wants us to be in shame and isolation.
Right.
So I appreciate that. Yeah. Now you also talk about fear as an important thing that we have to address. Last week on our broadcast, one of the people we interviewed talked about her lifelong struggle, which the Lord's recently given her real freedom. And if you didn't hear that broadcast, folks, you ought to go back and listen to last Thursday's broadcast. But she talks about how paralyzing fear can be, even when you know it's an irrational fear.
Yes.
But you talk about something that she mentioned, and that is how that fear is tied to feeling like we need to control things we can't control.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. And, you know, there's a lot of things regarding law enforcement that we may attach or cause us fear or brings us fear. One of the big ones in our community is feeling like our spouse or loved one is not going to make it home.
Yeah.
And it's hard because, one, we sympathize with those who don't make it home. And, you know, coming up is National Police Week, and we sympathize with those, and we never want to be in those shoes. But the research also shows that it's rare, that it's rare to have that. Have those occurrences happen. It doesn't minimize the fact that when they do, but it's hard when you're in that position to, you know, some of us might hear sirens and think, oh my gosh, is my spouse okay? And even though we know in the back of our mind that it's rare for an occurrence like that to happen with law enforcement where they don't make it home. But there are so many times where or faced with fear because of the job, and it will absolutely control you. One of the things that I really just kind of held to for many years was I refer back to Luke 10:14, where he talks about Martha, and Martha is concerned with all these details in her home. Yes. And I think sometimes in law enforcement, it's easy to attach to all these little details. Like, you know, mm-hmm. my spouse could get in a foot pursuit. My spouse could not make it home. My spouse is driving fast in a patrol car. All of these things that our spouse is doing that is now causing us anxiety, fear, all of those emotions. And so I always think back to that scripture and think about how, you know, really we just need to lean into Jesus and yes. give those fears and burdens, because, you know, we're all going to have them, but it's how we deal with them that matters. And so having this book or being able to find ways to control that, whether it's writing it down and trying to leave those thoughts on paper, or finding time to be with God every day to mm-hmm. share those feelings that you're going through, or talking again with someone in the community to try to deal with those fears. But it absolutely is a true emotion that many law enforcement or first responder spouses go through.
And learning how to deal with our fear.
Yes.
Is very important, because we do not have to let fear control us. We do not have to be afraid. You can learn to recognize that you feel fear right. without being afraid. We're talking with Rebecca Lynn about her book, Proud Police Wife, 90 Devotions for the Women Behind the Badge. Now, Rebecca, there are obviously some women wearing the badge too.
Yes, yes.
And the lessons in this are very good for not only the wife of a police officer, but other family members of police officers yes. who also need to learn how to be supportive, how to be loving, how to deal with feelings, etc. You talk about teamwork in the book. Let's talk about that right now.
Sure. You know, teamwork is huge, but one, to get through this lifestyle as a couple, I had to really stop a long time ago thinking that when my husband went to work, that was his job, and I'll do my own thing here, and we'll just pick up the next time he's home. Yeah. And I realized that that doesn't work. It doesn't allow us to connect with our spouse, and we have to have that connection. And for anybody that's listening, these are good, you know, marriage tips for anybody listening, but really teamwork is vital, because if we're not working together, the effects of the job, it's called spillover. Spillover mm-hmm. is going to play a part and come into our relationship, and it's going to smell like, you know, trash that needs to go out. It's not going to be very effective. So making sure that we're checking in with our spouse every day. There are some days where we go 4 or 5 days without truly seeing each other, or, mm-hmm. you know, it may be like ships in the night is something we hear a lot. We may just be kind of in passing and say, okay, see you later. Have a good day. We can't let that happen. We have to get up 5 minutes earlier, or maybe you can, you know, do FaceTime or send a text message quickly when they're eating real quick, or you're, excuse me, taking a break, making sure that you're checking in with your spouse and you're not just talking about surface level questions. You know, who mm-hmm. let the dog out last? I need you to pick up milk on the way home. You have to talk about deeper things, just about how each of you are doing. So that requires you to both be on the same page and know that is your goal, so that when you are together again, it doesn't feel like days went by and you haven't connected or you haven't had any sort of communication. So that's incredibly huge, to have those constant conversations, because otherwise you're just going to be really disconnected, unfortunately.
Amen. And I would submit that when you are seeking to connect with each other, eye contact is yes. not just helpful, it's vital.
Yes, yes.
Look each other in the eye, slow down.
Yes.
Listen as well as speak.
Yes.
And that connection yeah. is, as you said, vital. Now, you also talk about responding to others. What do you mean by that?
You know, I've mentioned before earlier that the past 2 years have been really difficult for law enforcement families. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we encounter people, maybe they just have questions about law enforcement, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. But there are other people that you can kind of tell they're not open to having a conversation. Instead, you can tell maybe by their demeanor or their way that they're speaking to you that they just want to have an argument about law enforcement or sharing their negativity regarding law enforcement. And it's really important to, I believe, to control our responses and put our energy where it's going to bring something positive. And so whether that is having to tell a coworker, you know, I'm at my place of employment, I'm not willing to have these conversations, or having to put up boundaries. Boundaries is huge. If you and your spouse have decided you're not going to have conversations, because sometimes people do ask off the wall things. I think I got a lot of them the past 2 years because I have, you know, my website, Proud Police Life, and social channels that are more open and public. And so I get a lot of interesting questions or not very nice comments left on my page. And that's okay. I choose to block, delete, and most of them I don't have conversations with if I can pretty much tell that their intentions are not good. So having that response or knowing what you're going to kind of say and do if that situation presents itself. And I can't emphasize enough just having boundaries. If it, if it's not something you're willing to bring into your life, if that, you know, is toxic, you know, take that energy and put up a boundary and then use that energy to do something more positive.
Amen. Well, and I think one aspect that I would encourage our listeners to consider, as all of us have to respond to things from time to time where people are not, they're not looking really for truthful answers.
They're just
wanting to vent.
Yes.
But there are times when I've found it helpful, not only for their benefit, but for my being able to express myself, to be able to, where I can, express agreement with what they're saying. If somebody wants to tell me about, you know, all the gross hypocrisy they've seen in churches, my response is likely to be, you know, I'm so sorry, that really bothers me too. Which is a little disarming for them, because I'm not defending, oh no, you know, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, I do, unfortunately. And there is tons of hypocrisy in the church, and the Bible talks about it, and God hates it. And why in the world would you want to spend forever in hell with those people? But again, that's very disarming to the critic sometimes. And I know, as the wife of a police officer who is conscientious, who has integrity, that you hate it, and he hates it, when there's corruption in a police force, when somebody does something wrong, when they abuse their position.
When an officer does something wrong or break the law, no one wants that officer to have consequences more than other police officers or their families. And honestly, when that does happen, it makes the good police officer's job so much harder, so much harder. And and we don't blame other people for being upset. It's we are just as mad. But sometimes when we claim that, you know, we're just as mad too, there's another dig that people will find. So it's, you know, it's incredibly hard. And those actions, while they make up a small percentage, are, you know, whatever the crime may be, they're despicable, and we don't support that at all. We, you know, it really dehumanizes law enforcement officers as a whole, because that's what happens is people look at a population when something goes wrong with one or a few, they look at them as a whole. And that's the really difficult part, is trying to kind of say like, no, you know, my spouse is the good one, or my loved one wasn't part of that. And and you're right. I have a time or two said to people when I do engage with them, you know, I'm just as mad as you are. I am just as upset as you are. And you're right. They typically don't know what to say.
Rebecca Lynn, thank you so much for taking time to talk with us this evening. And again, the book is Proud Police Wife, 90 Devotions for the Women Behind the Badge. Thank you for being with us, and God bless you and your husband.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.